morning, good afternoon, good evening, and or good night, and welcome to the 16th episode of Courageous Theology. My name is Drew Temple, and I'm your ugly crying at This Is Us host, taking you on a journey of mind-bending, fun-filled, theology-laden listening while you relax, commute, or work around the house. On today's episode, I want to first take a moment and apologize for two things. First, I want to apologize for not writing a blog post this week or last week. I ended up coming down with a nasty cold last week, and quite frankly, this week I was just a bit lazy. And second, I want to apologize for this episode being as late as it is. Strangely enough, my need for perfection got in the way of things, and I'll go on to explain more about that in a minute because the topic of today's episode ultimately is perfectionism. And to fight against my need for perfection for the rest of the episode, I'm going to be going completely off the cuff. So if I say something stupid, have some awkward pauses, or I guess anything like that, I apologize. I'm sorry. This will just be me talking, and who knows what I'll say. So yeah, why not? Here we go. So my need for perfection is something that I've dealt with probably all of my life. I've always wanted to be perfect at things, and if I wasn't perfect at things, or if I perceived that I couldn't be perfect at things, I self-sabotaged in a way and made sure that I just didn't do whatever it was. I can think of one example in high school where I was in 11th or 12th grade, and we had a project due, and I was going to do my project on Khrushchev. And I read the book that I was going to be reading, the biography, and I was getting ready to write my project, and I realized I didn't know really where I wanted to even begin. And so instead of starting the paper that I was supposed to write to get an A in the class, I decided not to write the paper, and then I just begged my teacher for mercy, and she gave it to me, and I probably shouldn't have, but she gave me mercy in that situation, and so I didn't learn a lesson of, hey, you need to actually just work. I went on to think, oh, well, if I just don't want to do something, or if I don't know how to do something, I just won't do it. If I can't be perfect, then there's no use in getting anything done. And ultimately, that's kind of played itself out even more into my adulthood as I became a dad, I became a husband, not in that order, as I, you know, started working at different jobs, and even in my job now, there's a bit of that need for perfection that rears its ugly head that I have to fight against, because ultimately, if I can't do something perfectly, I just want to throw up my hands and say, I'm not going to do it at all. And that's not the way you can live a life, really. Not in the real world, at least. And so, yeah, it's kind of been a struggle. And this has played out in my spiritual life as well, with reading the Bible on a daily basis, or praying on a regular basis, or giving generously to the church. Ultimately, this has ransacked my spiritual life because I wanted to be perfect, and if I couldn't achieve this some strange self-ascribed goal of perfection, then I just wasn't going to do it. So if I couldn't read 10 chapters a day in my Bible, then I wasn't going to read it all. If I couldn't pray for 20 minutes five times a day, then why pray? Same thing, unfortunately, goes with tithing, giving an offering to the church. If for some reason something came up during the month and my wife and I had some unforeseen expense pop up, and we couldn't give exactly what I had planned to give during that month, then just didn't give anything. It's really rough to have this desire for perfection. and I'm not saying this in some sort of, oh, pity me, because I want to be so perfect. I'm saying this in more of a sense of it sucks. Quite frankly, it sucks. You know, when it comes down to sitting down to write a blog post, if I don't have that idea in my head that sparks all sorts of creativity right off the bat, then I just say, oh, well, I guess I'm not supposed to write right now. It goes the same way with recording a podcast. If I sit down and get ready to push that record button and I don't have all the perfect words lined up and I don't have the right things to say, then I just say, oh, well, I'll do it another time. It's okay. And that's how you end up getting a Wednesday podcast episode coming out on a Friday night. That's how it happens. That's what happens. And unfortunately, this plays itself out with my family as well. If I can't play with my kids for hours on end, then, well, I just let them play by themselves. And if I'm not going to be completely, or not, I don't even know, if I think that I can't be completely spiritually available to my wife and lead her in the way that I think that I ought to be leading my family, because I've set this some goal in my head that it has to be done a certain way, then if I don't do it that certain way, then I just don't even try. I mean, I'll be completely transparent. There are times in my life where I just want to give up on a lot of things. And that's not necessarily completely a depression or anxiety issue that I've talked about before. But if I don't think that I can be perfect at something, then I don't see the point of doing it. Or if I feel like I can't be perfect, then I have this fear that I might as well not do it because my imperfection is going to be found out. There's a book that I really want to read. It was written by a pastor, I believe, Zach Eswine. He wrote a book that I also plan on finishing, I guess, this year. I started a while back, and I think I'm just going to restart it, called Spurgeon's Sorrows. But he has a book also called Imperfect Pastor. And the cover of that book, you see kind of how it's written out, is I'm Perfect Pastor. And the apostrophe is taken out between I'm and the I am, and perfect is marked to be linked together. So it's Imperfect Pastor. And so I haven't read the book yet, and I'm going off of complete speculation at this point because I haven't really even heard of any reviews of the book, or I think I maybe once heard a podcast episode where Zach was talking about the book, but just in general, I think kind of the point of it is that you're not going to be perfect as a pastor. And that's not what God even requires of you or asks of you. And so in my life, right now I'm an elder candidate at my church. And I feel like a lot of times that if I can't do it perfectly, if I can't be a perfect elder, whatever that means in my mind, that it's not what I'm supposed to be. That if I'm not going to be this perfect father, then maybe I'm not meant to be a father. If I'm not going to be this perfect husband, then maybe I'm not meant to be a husband. I mean, this was even something that my wife and I first talked about before we got married. I didn't want kids. And it wasn't because I didn't like kids. I mean, kind of honestly, I didn't really have much exposure to kids, so I didn't really know what to expect with them. But it wasn't that I hated kids or anything like that. I didn't want kids because I thought I was going to be imperfect. That would mess them up in some sort of way. And I guess that's kind of what all parents do in one way or another. We're going to screw up our kids at some point in some level. But to me, the fact that I knew that I couldn't be a perfect dad meant in my mind that I shouldn't be a dad. And now here I am, 6 years, almost 7 years on from my first child being born. And I can't imagine not having them in my life. I can't imagine not being called Papa. And the same thing even goes in my marriage. If I can't be this perfect husband, I thought maybe I shouldn't be a husband. There was even one point where my wife gave me back the engagement ring. And I just threw up my hands at that point. And I said, all right, well, heck with it. We're not going to get married. I didn't want to work at it. I didn't want to fix the issue that we were having, confront the problem, and deal with the pain of it. Because, well, that's not what marriage is supposed to be. But here I am. Almost 8 years later into a marriage, and I realize now that that's exactly what marriage is. It's not necessarily, and parts of this is the case, but it's not necessarily, you know, spending your life together with this great person that's supposed to make you whole and complete. I mean, Jerry Maguire, like, completely lied to us when, you know, you complete me. That's just nonsense. You know, my wife, I'm gonna get my wife off the hook here. My wife isn't going to complete me, and she's not meant to. That's the role of Christ. Christ completes us. Now my wife is there to be a helper for me, to love me and support me, and I'm there to love and support her. And not just so we can sit on our couches and watch episodes of This Is Us or The Good Doctor, which are both great shows, by the way, but because we're not meant to live life in isolation. We're not meant to live life without some help. Now, there are those that are called to singleness, and there are those that are just single in general for whatever reason, for long periods of time. And that might be part of God's plan for someone, but it's not for everyone. And it's really, it's really almost selfish for me to believe that because I'm not perfect that I shouldn't be a husband or I shouldn't be a father or I shouldn't be a podcaster or a blogger or public relations specialist or a pastor. It's actually selfish for me to think that if I can't be perfect that I shouldn't be it. Because ultimately what that says is that those who serve in the role, whatever those roles are, of husband, father, friend, teacher, pastor, son, daughter, mother, wife, that if they're not doing it perfectly, that they're failing. That might not be what I functionally say, but it's ultimately the underlying belief. It's not one that I would probably generally say out loud. But it's a driving rule, I guess. It's in my mind. And a lot of this podcast episode, just to be transparent as well, is coming out of a book that I'm reading currently called Finish by John Acuff. And in that book, John's talking a lot about perfectionism, and it started turning the wheels in my head. And perfectionism, or dealing with the need for perfection, is something I've known about in my life for a long time, but it became even more evident to me as I've been reading this book. That's how I live my life, that I strive after and seek perfection, and ultimately it ends up derailing my goals or my plans. It puts me in a position that's causes me to be depressed or anxious. It causes me to ultimately question God's plans for my life, God's will for the way I'm supposed to live. God doesn't demand perfection from me. Now, to a certain extent, when it comes to our sins, God demands perfection. And the fact that we can't meet that perfection is why Jesus ultimately paid the sacrifice for us. He paid our debt of sin. So he's our perfection. That's really probably what we should rest in, with the need for perfection the rest of our life as well. It's okay that we're imperfect. It's okay that we're not reaching some ideal goal that we've set above ourselves. One of the things John Acuff talks about in his book is when we have these underlying, sometimes unspoken rules that we live our lives by, that we need to sit back and ask ourselves, who says? You know, who says it means you have to give $1,000 a month to actually be tithing to the church? Who says that it takes spending 40 hours a week playing with your children to be a good dad? Who says that it takes buying your wife flowers every week to be a good husband? Who says that it takes reading your Bible 18 hours a day to be engaging in God's word? Who says that it takes praying just even sometimes just nonsensical, unfocused, just throwing up as many words as possible kind of prayers to God to reach some sort of self-imposed spirituality? Who says that has to be the way you live your life? Who says that a blog post has to be 1,000 words long? Who says that a podcast needs to be 30 minutes long? Who says that I don't know. This is where the part comes in where I'm just kind of, it's evident that I'm going off cuff. Oh, man. In all this need for perfection, I'm incredibly hard on myself, too. It's not like I'd throw out this goal to myself there and then I realize I can't meet it, so then I don't, and I just said, it's all right, no problem. No, I beat myself up over it. I mean, really, who says that I have to have witty comments for every interaction that I have with people? A lot of times I get in my own head, even when it comes to just approaching new people at church and, you know, welcoming them and making them feel at home and welcoming people into my own home. And telling people about Jesus and praying for people. It's desire for perfection just infiltrates and spreads throughout all of life until it's just not fun. Until you sit back one day and you realize, I'm at a crossroads right now. That's how I feel right now. I feel like I'm in a crossroads of my life. Either I'm going to continue down this path of perfection, or I'm going to embrace the imperfect and just let it ride out. Enjoy life again. Quite frankly, even though I've had this need for perfection throughout a lot of my life, I've not been forever this introverted person. I am fairly introverted, and when I take like the Myers-Briggs personality test, I'm typically flowing. It depends on my mood, honestly, when I'm taking the test, but I'm flowing between an ISTJ and an ESTJ. So introverted, sensing, thinking, and judgmental, or extroverted, sensing, thinking, and judgmental. And it really just depends on my mood. But for the majority of my life, I was this extroverted person. I mean, I would talk to anyone. I would just carry on conversations like we were best friends for our whole lives. And I would go up and meet new people and introduce myself. And I was warm and welcoming. And somewhere along the way, I don't know, I think I just got beaten down by life, quite frankly. And I started pulling into myself and thinking about things I was saying more seriously. And not that I was ever saying anything that was overly ridiculous or stupid, but I started analyzing every little thing that was coming out of my mouth and analyzing every little thing that was being responded to by other people. And I just changed. My personality changed somewhere along the line where I was no longer extroverted, but I became introverted. I remember pretty clearly there was a campus ministry that I was a part of at Marshall University called Revolution. And Shay Osborne, who is a friend of mine, is also the lead pastor of the church where we're at, was the campus minister at the time at Revolution. And he had invited a friend of his, Mark White, who is a co-pastor at Missio Dei Church in Huntington, West Virginia, a church that we went to when we were living in Huntington still. And I hadn't met Mark before, but he invited Mark to Revolution to kind of hang out, see things, and to speak to us about Missio. And at the end of the evening, Mark was kind of just in the back of the chapel in the campus Christian Center, and everyone was talking amongst themselves, and no one kind of even recognized Mark. And I took it upon myself to go up to him, introduce myself, talk to him about Missio, find out just a little, you know, information about him in general. And then I remember Shay thanking me later for talking to Mark and engaging with him and making him feel welcome and all these other things. And I think about that every so often, and then I start to question why I'm not like that anymore. I start to question why it takes me months of people coming to church before I even walk up to them and talk to them. Or why it takes me years to finally engage with someone that I've been meaning to reconnect with. Because I have this desire for perfection. That the interaction isn't going to be perfect if it's something that, well, maybe I'm not going to know what to say, or what I say will sound idiotic, then I'm just not going to do it. And ultimately, that doesn't just ruin my personality and change who I am as a person, it ultimately communicates to other people that I don't find worth or value in who they are. And that's problematic. That's incredibly backward and problematic. Too much of my life is driven by, or has been driven by, fear of what people think about me. And I think I shared on last week's podcast episode when I had Dwayne on and we're talking about the bar that, you know, Dwayne early on had mentioned to me and said that, you know, just do your thing, man. Like, just drown out the haters, do what you're going to do. And I took that to heart, you know, and so I started this podcast and I started blogging and went after something that I'd been thinking about for years. I mean, Courageous Theology, this podcast, the blog, the website, everything linked to Courageous Theology has been something that's been sitting dormant since 2015. And I first started talking about doing this back in 2015. Shay and I had sat down and we wrote out a list of people that I should seek out to interview for certain topics and things that could be covered. And it took 2 years from then to actually start it. 2 years to actually do anything, to record the first episode, write the first blog post. Not because I was lazy, even though laziness probably played some sort of part in it. But I was afraid to do it. And so here I am on February 9th, 2018, at like 8:30 at night, recording a late podcast because this past week, as I was thinking about leading up to Wednesday to drop a new episode, that I didn't know what I was going to talk about. And so if I couldn't make it perfect, then I was just not going to record an episode, and that would be okay. And it's not okay. It's not okay to do that. This is something that's been on my mind to do for 2 years. And I owe it to myself, and I owe it to those of you who subscribe and listen on a regular basis to be putting out content. Sometimes the content is going to be crappy, and I'm sorry, but it needs to be put out. Yeah, I'm not going to let perfection stand in the way of getting things done any longer. That's my promise to myself and to you as my listeners and readers, that perfection isn't going to get in the way anymore. So that means that some things will be imperfect. There will be podcast episodes that are ramblings like this. And there will be blog posts that are like 100 words long that are just kind of like my musings for the day. But that's okay, because I'm being consistent and I'm kicking perfection in the face, telling it to go, well, now you know. We'll go ahead and pause and take an opportunity to listen to a message from the bar, and we'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? I know you've been looking for something fresh, something new. Well, your search is over, because you found the bar. That's right, Biblical and Reformed. Every Tuesday, we drop a new episode, whether it's me and my crew talking about theology, current events, or even a great interview. You can find us at any podcatcher. Just search Biblical and Reformed. Welcome to the bar.
So what are your thoughts on today's episode? Shoot me an email at courageoustheology@gmail.com or leave me a voicemail at 304-460-8374. And who knows? Maybe I'll read or play your comment on the air. That's all for today. Be sure to visit www.courageoustheology.com for weekly blog posts. As I said, I Haven't been on it, but watch out next Friday. It's coming. Also, stop on by the website and sign up for our mailing list. There will be goodies coming out to our subscribers within the next few months, so be sure to get on early. And if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast or the email blasts, what are you waiting for? Go sign up for the mailing list today. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and CastBox. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Courage Theology and Instagram at Courageous Theology. And be sure to head over to iTunes after you subscribe to leave an honest 5-star review and nice comment. I really do appreciate any and all feedback. Until next time, fight for the faith and strive to be courageous in all things. Hasta la vista, baby.